Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 44.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
All right, hey everyone, welcome back to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. This is episode 44. And this episode is going to be on accompanying singers. So first of all, I'd like to thank you again for listening. If this is your first episode, this episode or this podcast is affiliated with the website jazzpianoschool.com, which offers a course and a lot of free material. So please go ahead and check that out. If you're interested for signing up for the email newsletter, which you receive a lot of information, tips, voicings, just updates about the site, you can do so by going to jazzpianoschool.com, and there'll be a lot of options for you to do that there. But again, thank you very much for listening. I just got back on the wagon. I fell off before. I'm deeply sorry about that, but it happens to everyone, right? Right? Happens to everyone. So I've been so focused on launching the intermediate series, the intermediate course portion of the JPS course, that all the podcasts kind of fell off. I didn't really have time for that. So I just launched the intermediate portion of the JPS course in May, and I'm working on the advanced portion now. So my goal is to continue with the podcasts and blogs once a week while doing the advanced course. So I'm gonna try my absolute best to keep producing the free material for everyone and at the same time get the advanced course filmed and up and going for the site. So what I'm going to be talking about here is accompanying singers. Now, it can be extremely difficult to do this well, right? So that the singer feels comfortable, they enjoy what you're playing, and you are supporting them. That is very, very important. Different singers are going to feel differently about the way you play. So don't take it personally if you are playing with a singer and you're doing something and they don't like it, right? I've had many singers tell me they did not like what I was doing, and I would say, okay, no problem. What would you like me to do? What do you want more of? And usually, you can tell a good singer because she'll be able to articulate what she wants. And that's great. If a singer can tell you what she wants from you, all the better. It's tough. The less experienced singers won't really be able to tell you what they're looking for. They'll be able to tell you what they're not looking for. And that's not very helpful. I just noticed I have some stuff on my keyboard. I got to pull it off here. That was a medieval dagger, by the way, that I was given as a wedding present for the wedding I was at Miami as a groomsman. You're probably just like, what the heck? Why does he have a dagger on his keyboard? But that was a present, okay? I do like Game of Thrones, though. All right, anyway, so the less experienced singer won't be able to tell you what she wants. She'll be able to tell you what she doesn't want. So in those situations, you just have to shoot in the dark. But the principles I'm going to give you today are going to be basic to build a foundation. And this might be a 2 or 3 part series. In the JPS course, it's definitely going to be a very advanced 8 part series or so, in which I go over all the different aspects. But for the podcast, it'll probably be 2 or 3. I have to cram a lot in here because there's a lot of topics I want to get to. But first and foremost, all right, when we are accompanying a singer, before anything, we want to lay down a foundation. We need a palette. All right. And so there's a lot of things that go into play with this. And one of the things is the style of the piece. So if you have a slow or medium swing piece, you need to think about how you're going to, we need to do everything, right? We're basically playing solo piano, but we don't have to worry about the melody because they are singing it for us. So I'm gonna use a couple different examples and then tie in some stylistic things into it. And then we're gonna go into more voicing type of how do we voice this or this. So don't worry about the voicings right now. I just want you to, whatever voicings you use for the chords, that's fine. Just pay attention to the way that I set up the foundation. So why don't I play a little bit first, actually. We're gonna pretend like there's a singer too. I wish I could sing, I'm terrible at doing that. But just pretend there's a singer, and I'm just gonna play like there would be a singer. I'm gonna take the piece almost like being love. So usually they would ask you to set this up, all right? And you know, you do a small intro, you can do the last eight bars. I'll do the last eight bars, and then I'll go into how I'd comp. So sometimes they'll just look at you if they give you the tempo. Let's say they give you a tempo here. What a day this has been. Right about there. So they might count you off, right? One, two, a one, two, three, four. Solo, right? So that's basically kind of what I'd do. You know, that's more of a condensed version. I'd probably add a little bit more fills in my right hand. We'll talk about that later. That's more advanced. But I'm going to do that a lot slower, right? And you'll notice I'm mostly staying in this range right here, okay, on the piano. That's it, right? And most of the time, these are just general principles to think about. My right hand is playing chords. My left hand will be using some sort of bass note, right? You saw I used this for the first chord. This is an E flat major 7. I have my E flat in the bass. I have a rootless voicing here. And if I say any terms, if this is your first time listener, if I say any terms that you don't understand, most of everything I've taught by this point you can learn in the previous episodes. So like your rootless voicings, you can go to previous podcast episodes. I'm sorry, I don't know offhand. But you can learn those. So what I'm doing here is an E flat major rootless voicing. Okay? Now in the second measure, it goes to an F7. So depending upon how I feel, I can either play the same arrangement of my hands, right? I can go to a rootless voicing here and the bass note, and then I can just keep going, you know, with these things. And again, you don't have to use rootless voicings all the time. Sometimes you'd want to use just an inversion. Like in the third measure, I go to my D minor. I have a bass note here, and then my chord here. This is just an inversion, right? And same thing here. That's not an inversion. I'm sorry, I'm adding a 9 here, right? But you could use a root position here. And then to a rootless voicing, C minor. F7 sus, okay? Sorry, I'm talking about the voicings already, but let's save that for a second. So the first thing you want to do is establish that foundation. You need a palette, right? So it's not, it doesn't feel like holy, right? So you need to establish that time feel. And if you, let's say you're not as advanced to do some of those left-hand movements, you can do more of just a chordal thing and just hold on the chords. So for example, I might play this. Watch, this will be right from the top. One, two, three, four. Two, three, four. Time there. So I wasn't adding as much flair into that, right? I was just playing whole notes in my right hand and whole notes in my left hand, and right hand rootless voicings, left hand bass notes. Okay, and a couple of times I would add that da, da, one, two, three, and four, and one, two, three, and four. And that just gives it a little pop, right? When you add those upbeats in, it gives it a little pop. It gives it that swing feel. You can't just do all whole notes because you're not going to have that swing feel. So that's why you add in a couple times, you know, some upbeats. One, two, and three, and four, and one, two, and three, and four, and one, two, and three, and four, and one, two, and three, and four. right? So you want to establish that time. Now, another way to approach this medium swing tempo would just be a nice stride, right, with a pedal. So you could play chords here with a nice stride in your left hand. Now, this is kind of more, that would be more of a, like an old feeling stride type of, you know, I don't really know how to call it. That's less modern style, you know, of almost like being in love. So that's a very old way to play it, you know. And so what I'm doing here is this, I just have my chords, any sort of chords you want, okay? And I'm playing root chord or just shells, right? 3 and 7 of the chord. 5 of the chord, back to the shells or the chord, full chord. I also have a full chord here. So in this case, I have the, I should play this, but you can play, I was adding the 9 in here, right? Or you can play rootless voice in if you want. And I'm also getting that upbeat here. This is what gives it that swing. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 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 1. Right, that's more of that kind of raggy style. But you can do both ways. I prefer the other method, but it just depends what song. Again, this kind of relates to the stylistic elements of the tune. Like for Almost Like Being in Love, I prefer that way. You might get a singer that is more of an old school singer and wants that stridey type of feel to their songs. You know, that might be her show. If you get more of a modern singer who's very up to date, kind of on standards and can sing jazz, you know, effectively, then they'll probably want more of what I was showing you first. Okay, so again, we want to lay down the palette, right? A nice tempo. Let me go through it again slowly. Just so you can hear that, and I'll do it a lot slower. So 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. Pulsing. Okay, so you need that tempo, you need that a bonk, a chuck, a chuck, a chuck, a 1, 2. You need to feel the quarter note. Right, the tempo is in time, rhythmically is very, very important. Okay, I'm gonna get to all the flary and flashy stuff I was doing to create that, but in your head you have to create a tempo. Now, that's a medium swing tune, all right? Let's say we were doing something like a ballad, right? And again, this is the same thing if you guys are members of the JPS course. I go over the ballads and keeping the tempo. You need to keep that tempo in a ballad present in all tempos, really. You need that, you know, pulse, because you are the drummer. You need the rhythmic style. If there's too many gaps, the singer's not going to feel like she can work with the melody and phrase it however she wants. She's going to feel like she's fighting you, all right? So if something like, let's say we're doing something like Body and Soul, right? Some sort of ballad, okay? Again, I want to play something almost on every single quarter note, okay, to set up that time, right? So if I do a small intro, and then I might let her take the pickups here, and then I'll play the downbeat. But you can feel how, right? You feel that pulse. 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. So you're playing something, you need to establish that palette, right? You need that foundation for the singer to sing over top of. Okay, and again, you notice what I'm doing here is I'm just simply playing chords in my right hand and bass notes in my left hand with time. And to fill in each beat, I'm not going to play the same thing again. So 1, 2, 3, 4, because that's going to sound, you know, kind of ridiculous, a little honky-tonk, right? So sometimes what I'll do is I'll play a chord and then play one note out of the chord, like that, like the third, or I can play the fifth. Actually, any note will work, really. You just want to make sure it doesn't really stick out too much. Or I'll add small fills like that. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 1, sorry, 2, 3, and 4, and 1. So sometimes you have eighth note fills in there and you're kind of filling in between with a couple notes, but I'm really not doing much, right? You just want to keep that tempo moving so that she can feel like there's a band behind her. Okay? Otherwise, if I'm just sitting here, she's going to feel a tough time phrasing the tempo, right? So that's the first thing. And if you take an up-tempo piece, more of a, let's say, All of Me, right? So if I'm comping behind this, you know, again, this is where you kind of want to back off just a little bit, right? But you need to have, again, my first main goal is to establish that time, okay? So I might set up an intro. Again, I have made a couple mistakes in there. Sorry about that, guys. But my focus, I'm just trying to focus on the tempo for you here. Once things get moving and she feels that, you can start to open up. So you can start to move around more. That's what I'm going to talk about next, is you don't have to just stay in this area. You can really kind of let loose between your movements. But anyway, let's talk about voicings for a little bit, okay? Okay, so number one, really establish that tempo. If it's a slow blues, right? Let's say we're singing the blues. You really, like a more of a gospel-y blues, you need that solid tempo. This is a blues in F. Maybe you set it up. So whatever you're doing, you just want to make sure you have that boom, boo, ta, boo, doom, right? If it's swing, or even if it's Latin, right? I can guarantee you the voicings, most people are way more concerned with voicings than they are with playing, with supporting, right? You don't be so concerned about what your voicings are. because those will come second. I could play all shells and very, very simple, right? For like I started with Almost Like Being in Love, and it would sound great to a singer, right? I could just do this. I'm just playing shells in my right hand. That's it. That would do it. If you supported them with like that, they'd be like, oh, okay, cool, man, you're swinging, you know. But once you start to lose the feel, the swing feeling, if you're trying to add in too many voicings, too many extensions, too much stuff going on, too many fills, right, you're interfering with them, that's just you're not being supportive. You are not the spotlight, right? Okay, you need to keep that in mind. When the vocalist is singing, you're not the spotlight, so you need to be underneath them, creating a foundation and a solid rhythmic feel. That's why I was adding those rhythms in with my shells and bass notes. Right? Now, let's talk about voicing. So let's talk about exactly what I'm doing here. So in Almost Like Being in Love, while I'm playing solo, my left hand is going to be very active. If you're playing with a trio and a vocalist, right, then I'm not going to be doing much of that. I'm just comping. Right? So I'm only focused on comping. That's really it. Maybe I kind of add in a couple fills. Right, you might add in some nice fills in there, but mostly what I'm doing is just comping, okay? So the voices that I'm using is my right hand rootless voicings for the most part. My left hand is very active with bass notes and approaching bass notes, right? So you'll notice I did a lot in the space. Right, so I'm adding these da-da-da, you know, into my bass notes to kind of give it that meaty feel. You can do these chromatic approaches are really nice. Or you can, what I just did there is 1-5-1, right? Now, I understand this takes a lot of work, you know, coordination wise. And what I'd recommend for this is just doing your left hand. You want to basically think about the bass line as not being walking. It's a broken bass line, right? You're kind of almost improvising with your left hand. You know, I could walk, now that's an option. That's also another option to accompany, but not all the time do you want that just walking bass feel. That's why I like this broken bass feel that I use with my right hand rootless voicings. Okay, so that broken bass gives it a nice kind of, you're still swinging, but you're accompanying. It's not just a boring, you know, walking bass line. Not to say that walking bass lines are boring, but you're switching up the texture. Then maybe after she goes through it once, you can break into the bass line, which will propel the song somewhere. Okay, now right hand. All right, during these bass lines, all I'm doing is playing my rootless voicings here, or some sort of inversion, right? For my F7, I might jump up to an inversion, drop down. Okay, third inversion G minor here. You can follow along. I'll add the lead sheet. If you're listening on the podcast, you won't be able to see the chords here, but the lead sheet, I'll give it up, the lead sheet in for the on the website, so you can follow along with the chords. But anyway, just that's it. Rootless voicings and inversions. You know, that's it. That's all I'm doing. So here, check this out, right? 1, 2, 3, 4. Maybe just shells. That was a 2-5-1 rootless, right? With some rhythmic values. Talk about that in a second. I'll talk about that too. Now, when you have these long bars of openness, you need to look where you can kind of put your flavor in. When she has whole notes, or he, right? If the singer has whole notes, okay, they're just sitting there. You can, that's your chance to fill. So if you're comping here for them, okay, that's when you don't have to do a, you know, that type of fill, but you can just do some chord fills. Again, most of what I'm doing right now is rootless voicings, inversions, but my bass line is really what gives it that pop. It gives it the swing feel with the ba-da-da-ba, because I'm hitting all these different upbeats. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. Right, so it's the movement and the rhythms that I'm doing in my left hand that really spice things up. My right hand is actually just comping for my left hand. Okay? So now, after that, I add in some tritone subs because I fill in with the movements. I add in, and again, the tritone sub guys are in the previous episodes, so you can study those. So that allows me to have more movement within my comping. So in the first measure, I go from an E-flat major to the second measure to F7. Now, I can approach the F7 with a dominant chord. This is getting to more some more theory stuff, okay? And all this theory stuff is in the JPS course, just so you know if you're interested. But I can approach my F7 with the C7, okay? All dominants can resolve down by a fifth. So if I think about that, I'm gonna take my C7 and I'm gonna use a tritone sub and make it an F-sharp 7, and I'm gonna play my rootless voicing. And so with that theory, with that thinking, we can go F-sharp 7, down into our F7. So I can go E flat major, F sharp 7, F7 to move into the second bar. So I'd have two beats of the E flat major. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, and so by that thinking, you can approach almost all dominant chords, actually any type of chord really, with a half step above dominant. You know, so I can go E flat, F sharp, F, B, down into the B flat. Or if you're using the traditional chords, you can use E flat down into the D minor, A flat, G, D flat, C. So I use a lot of these half step dominant approaches to resolve down into my chords. Okay, check it out, I'll do it slowly. Here we go. So even from the last four, I guess, I'll add an intro. Right, half step. All these half steps I'm adding, half step, chord, half step, chord, half step, chord. 1, 2, 3, 4, half step, chord, half step, chord, half step, chord. Passing chords here, half step, chord, half step, chord, half step, chord, half step, chord, half step, chord. step, chord, half step, chord. So we don't want to just do half step, chord. That's why we add in the rhythms, right? So I would go. Sometimes you do a beat, right? 4-1. 1-2-3-4. Da, da, right? That's where your rhythms really come into play. 1-2-3-4. And 1-2-3-4. And 1-3-4. And 1-2-3-4. So these are all theory concepts. I mean, all these concepts are... You can't really do this. You need to know a lot of the theory concepts I've worked on in the podcast or in the course, right? Because they're tools, and this is why people don't understand how to play jazz piano. Because, you know, someone will teach what I'm teaching right now, and they'll say all these things, but they won't explain what's going on, right? Like in YouTube videos, they'll play an arrangement, and you'll learn to play what I'm playing, but you won't understand the concepts. And so that's why it's very important. The way I structure my course and my lessons and my podcast is with theory concepts, different technique concepts, improv concepts that all relate to doing things I'm doing right now, right? And that's why it's important. And you may be like, wow, this is way too advanced for me. But you need to go through the other podcast lessons in order to kind of do this. But again, to kind of simplify things, you can just use, again, we want to just set up the time. You can just use chords in your right hand, any sort of root position, inversions. And as long as you have some sort of time going, you can even pulse. Right, this is also obviously very basic. And that's just more of like a walking ballad style. If you want to try and swing it, have to think of that swing eighth feel, right? And try and use a little bit less pedal. But so though that's really what I'm doing. I mean, I have some other voicings in there that you've probably saw and heard. Well, what's that? You know, what's that? But most of the time it's all rootless voicings. I don't want to get into some of the extensions I was using, but again, left hand principles, I had some ones in threes or ones in sevens. Okay, that explains my left hand in a nutshell, and that's very accurate. I have either bass notes, I have 1 in 7. I have, so bass note for E flat. I might use 1 in 7, and in this case, I'll still use a rootless voicing, and I might leave my 7 out because I have it here. That's a very nice way to have a voicing, right? So here's my rootless voicing, F7 dominant, 3-13-7-9. But because I have the 7 down here, I'll leave it out here. And instead of playing it all at once, I might stagger the two bass notes. So I'm hitting that E flat with my voicing. Okay? Now, same thing if I go to my D minor here, I might have 1 and 3. But since, right, I have the three down here, I might leave it out here. So I get this. Okay? You can double if you want. It's completely up to you. I use this as just as much. But I'm just showing you two options, right? And then to the G minor, right? Now, because I have the 7 here, I'm leaving it out here. But these are all rootless voicings, guys. These are just my rootless voicings. Now, rootless voicing, just because I'm choosing to use one bass note. And then to 1 and 7 here, my sus sound into F7 flat 9. So here's... Right now, again, this is the perfect time. If I have extensions, instead of my natural 9 on top, I have my flat 9. I'm going to leave my 7 out just to thin it out a little bit because I want this to come out in my sound. And that's where we get that. If I add this into here, listen to how it thickens up. Too many notes. To really kind of uplift our colors of our extensions, I'm going to leave my 7s out if I'm playing in my left hand, or my 3rds out if I'm playing in my left hand. So that's what that sounds like. Very nice sound. Same here, right? So instead of doing this, I'm gonna leave my 3rd out here because I'm playing it down here. See that? So that's almost all of what's going on, okay, in the entire piece. And so the same thing with ballads. I just have more movement or more jumping to inversions to fill in because we want something on every chord note. Now you can get fancy, right, with runs. But that's you know, you're taking over at that point. And there's certain times for that, you know, but I don't want to get into that because that's more advanced. But all right, that was a long, it's been a long enough. That was a lot. I know you guys are like, my head's exploding. But it's all doable. It's all doable, guys. And again, it's about taking it apart. So realize that everything I just taught you or everything you saw me do is multiple concepts that have to be worked on and learned in order to put into repertoire. If you're just learning arrangements by copying kind of what I'm doing or other YouTube videos or anything like that or podcasts, whatever, you're never really truly going to be able to learn jazz. And that's what my course and my education is about. I'm sure a lot of followers who know this, you know, have heard this spiel a lot. But you need to break down the components in order to put them into tunes. And that is the JPS system. It's learning theory concepts. It's learning technique concepts. It's learning improv concepts. And then combining all of those three into repertoire, which I'm doing now to show you how to accompany a singer. So that is more the basics of accompanying a singer. Hopefully that was helpful. I kind of went on a little bit of a rampage there. It was a little bit all over the place. In my head, it was more organized than it came out, but hopefully that helps. I think I'm gonna do another one and kind of show you some more fill type things you can do. I was adding some passing chords, right? Or the half step approaches, right? We can approach certain chords by half steps like that. Chromatically. Again, the tritones were some of the passing stuff I was doing. Okay, but I showed you all the voicing stuff is in there, you know, so just listen to it again slowly if you want. I'm just using my rootless voicings and practice some of those movements and really focus on being rhythmic and time, you know, focused while you're playing, because that's more important than some of the harmonies that you're doing, especially when you're playing with a singer. All right. If you're playing by yourself, that's a different story. But when you're just supporting, right, someone or a sax player or just a single horn or anything like that, your main goal is to be supportive, and then you can color afterwards. But you need to have that really bottom base palette from which the other person can feed off of and really build on top. All right, guys. So thank you so much for listening. Definitely go check out jazzpianoschool.com. That's where the paid membership course is, as well as a lot of free content I know you enjoy. And thank you very much again. And until next time, happy practicing.